Welcome to a great musical gathering here in the Chapel in the Pines. This is a Summer Acoustic Music Week. It's our second week of the 2018 summer, and we have a room full of people ready to hear some extraordinary live music. Would you sign in, please? Do we really have a room full of people here? We do indeed. And this is a program, one of the summer camp music camp programs that is part of the WUMB life to keep the music going. And our guests this morning will be Hubby Jenkins, extraordinary musician who we had the privilege of having as a teacher two summers ago as well. And, well, they're all extraordinary, Ben Pierce. And Ben, you taught here 2 years ago, I think. It's been a while,
yeah. It's been a while, but I'm happy to be back.
Well, I'm so glad that you did say yes. And Ben and Hubby were not here at the same time. Is that true?
Correct.
Yes, so that we made them be roommates, and now they know each other very well. And Martin Grosswent, who is guesting to perform with the two. And Ben, I'm thinking maybe we could start with you.
Sure.
Yes, so Ben Pierce is a regular around Cambridge, Massachusetts, but you travel all over the place and you build instruments, and it's mandolin that you're holding right now. Did you make that one yourself?
I did.
You did.
I built this in about 2007 when I lived in Rhode Island.
Ben Pierce, may we hear it?
Sure. I'll give you more than a chord. I'm going to have Martin, we're just going to play a little old-time tune for you. How's that?
Wonderful. It's a good thing.
All right. It's called Soldier's Joy.
Soldier's Joy, a wonderful old-timey tune with roots in the British Isles, probably Scotland, do you know?
Boy, I don't.
Well, I have heard that it is Scottish, and I would have been told that the Scottish version had more notes than the American one, but I would actually, having heard this rendition, question it. Yeah.
The less you know, the more notes you can play.
There you are. There you are. Take it then. That is, yeah. The songwriting class that I'm teaching this week is involved in a kind of a Zen process, and that would win. That was it. The less you know, the more notes you can play. And thank you, Ben Pierce. And Martin Grosswant was playing banjo there. And Hubby, what have you been teaching lately, and how are you doing, Hubby Jenkins?
What have I been teaching lately? This morning, with my second cup of coffee, we listened to gospel music and talked about how slaves had to deal with Christianity, how good the music is, how morality is put into it, and how silent bits of oppression can also be found within gospel music. And I also told a very embarrassing story where I messed up a solo in front of Bela Fleck on stage. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And as I understand, it is Monday of a week of Summer Acoustic Music Week, so...
When you play music, there are no days.
I found that to be true. Yeah. Or nights, it's all one...
that's right.
Yeah, one amazing continuum. Will you play a little something for us, please?
Yeah, I'll play a song that I have not played in front of anyone yet. It comes from a guy named Mississippi Fred McDowell, who I love very much.
Well, knees together, let your backbone move, loaded body intact and shake them down like you. Oh, yes, I know. Lord, on a mountain border, get some ice before we come down, baby, we gonna shake 'em down twice, oh, yes, I know. Town and see me standing round, you know me. For how long we gonna shake 'em on down? Yeah, yes, I know.
We are the lucky ones to be hearing that from you from the first time. And the guitar that you've just set down, will you tell us a little about it? Hubby's got a beautiful, what I would consider a parlor guitar, a small
guitar.
Yeah,
it's a parlor-sized guitar. Her name's Ursula the Bearded Lady.
Oh, perfect. I can see why, although our listening audience will be stumped.
Is that called a mustache?
Yes.
Bridge? I'm really bad with, I'm the worst with like guitar models and numbers and all that kind of stuff, but don't tell anybody.
No.
But this guitar was made by a guy named Todd Cambio, whose company is called Fraulini Guitars, a guitar maker out of Madison, Wisconsin, maybe outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And I think he got started kind of making replicas of what Lead Belly played on, his 12 strings, Lydia Mendoza's guitar. Just kind of learning how these old guitars were made aesthetically and inside, and building them in more modern ways that were, I guess, hold up more. I've been touring with this, guitar since my first year with Carolina Chocolate Drops, and it's
great.
It's a workhorse, beautiful animal, and we're madly in love with each other.
Well, here's to it, you know. It's a good thing. And Hubby Jenkins is playing the music that pulls us into a time and a place and a sound, and the guitar is cooperating. The idea of instruments continuing to gain strength and power and to be increasingly functional, it's part of hand and glove with the musician's skills. There's an interesting interface there about players requiring and even demanding something of an instrument, and a builder finding a way to address that. So that my own perception of traditional roots music is that it is as strong as ever, perhaps stronger, and that the instrument building piece of it and the restoration and the energy that's going into these instruments and coming from them is part of that strength. It's just amazing. And will you tell us a little, please, Ben, about the building that you're doing?
Well, right now I'm spending more time than ever in the workshop in Cambridge. It's an outlier workshop. We primarily make archtop mandolins and flat-top guitars, mostly mm-hmm. for kind of traditional bluegrass music, but also for other things. It's a real chance to take a deep dive and bring some chops I learned studying under a violin maker named Carl Dennis in Rhode Island, who taught me how to do everything the hard way.
Oh, and, fair enough. Makes everything easier now, huh?
It's still hard.
oh, darn.
I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there that could show the easy way, but
I do it right.
Well. Yeah, you do it right. Yep, that's what we're
musicians
hearing.
Ask for the most? Like, what kind of, like, yes. free action? Well.
Isn't that the truth? You know, oftentimes, in terms of what people ask for are, you know, fortunately for me, they're asking for the best that I can do.
Great.
You know, people will have some tonal requirements, but, you know, the best relationships that I've had with building instruments for musicians is primarily like broad strokes of what folks like, and, you know, a communication between the music that they play and then my understanding of form and materials to complement.
And that's exactly the piece I'm considering, is how the instruments are being built for the specs of the players, who are then pushing their own music forward because now they have the instrument they hoped they would have. It's a beautiful kind of synergy there. And
Well, it's a super interesting thing to get a chance to sit down and play for a couple hours with someone when really trying to suss out the decisions that you're going to make to kind of inform or bring out the best in their playing and tone in an instrument. So that's been, I've had the great fortune of making instruments for people that I've known for years, and that's always been it required the least back and forth.
Right.
It's just like, oh, you need this.
Oh, and, right.
And it's been
great. Well, and I'm hoping you'll play something else for us, Ben Pierce.
Sure. Well, speaking of old friends and instruments, Martin's going to join me on this one. We're just going to play a Hank tune called I Cried Again. Just to mix it up. Fell the night she says, I love you, dear, but you were away. I loved you when I held your hand, and I turned away and cried again. I cried again when I reached home. They'd set your picture all alone. I thought of things that might have been, and turned my head and cried again. Well, I took your letters from the shelf, and I read them aloud just to myself. And just before I reached the end, I bowed my head and cried again. Well, I cried again when I reached home. There sat your picture all alone. I thought of things that might have been, and bowed my head and cried again.
again. I'd been denied, and how the hole that I had tried, and of the dreams that we both shared, and days gone by, dear, when you cared. Now here's the reason that I say that I must throw you things away, for they would only cause me pain. And then I'd have to cry again.
You know, Martin Grosswent, who's playing with you just now, I recall the Pegheads. Is that a band that Ben was also in?
Yes.
And I think you had been telling me about them and about the band. You were in it as well. And my husband Bennett and I went to the Cantab to see the band in Central Square. And I had not seen Ben play before. And that was an eye-opener. It was pretty amazing. And it's a pleasure to have you here and teaching, because you really know the mandolin in a particularly striking way. And that bluegrass repertoire, that was the Pegheads was essentially a bluegrass band?
Yeah, pretty much. It was Ben and I and Jeffrey Hurricane Horton, a bass player and operatic bluegrass singer.
Hear, hear.
And the aforementioned Carl Dennis on fiddle, and the beloved and much missed Mike Kropp,
yes.
On banjo.
Yeah, and it was a fierce band, really good.
Pretty good band.
Good music. And so you were a bandmate with the violin teacher.
He ruined my life.
Okay. I just want to point out that that happens a lot in bands, although not usually as creatively and productively.
Right, yeah. I was hired to play in the Pegheads when I moved to Providence, Rhode Island, and sure enough, rehearsal space in Carl Dennis's shop. I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And a number of New England Folk Arts Foundation and RISCA apprenticeship grants later, here I am.
Excellent. Well, so all of you can join bands and have your lives ruined too, and we'll all and compare notes with Ben. That's it. It happens a lot. And hubby, banjo now. The music of Joe and Odell Thompson is a special interest of yours. And will you tell us a little about that, how you got that connection and learned that music, please?
Sure. I'm going to have to play a Joe and Odell song.
Well, I was hoping.
Okay.
Oh, don't let me set that up.
No, I like this. I don't know what I'm doing. We're on the radio.
Take it.
Joe and Odell Thompson, they were from a family in a place called Mebane, North Carolina, and they played this Piedmont old-time style of fiddle and banjo. That Joe Thompson was a fiddle player, and his fiddle playing went through the men in his family all the way back to the Civil War, and they're playing dance music, old-timey dance music, and he would call dances, and he said he loved to be the caller because back in his day, if you were a caller, you got to dance with the women in the crowd, you know, so you could pick the prettiest girls and call the dance. That was his whole thing. Carolina Chocolate Drops got started after something called the Black Banjo Gathering,
right?
And he attended, and, you know, I'm not an original member of the band. I got in when the band got good. I'm just kidding. Don't tell anyone I said that. But Justin, Dom, and Rhiannon met him there, and every week they would go and play music with him and learn his music. And, you know, no one younger in his family was kind of taking it on, and no one black was really paying any interest in it. So it was a very passionate experience for him as well to be seeing young black people, like, learning this music and kind of preserving it in that fashion. When I joined Carolina Chocolate Drops, they asked me if I could play fiddle, and I said no. And I said, fine, you're now the banjo player. And they said, cool. And they're like, you're in the band. We're going on tour in a couple months. I'm like, cool, what's the repertoire? Like, what are we playing? What should I do? And they just sent me all the CDs they had done up to that point. And the CD that I really fell in love with the most was this album that they did with Joe Thompson. And so I was able, kind of like second-handedly, through being obsessive with that record, sit with Rhiannon and be like, all right, now teach me what's happening here and what's going on with this. And
That's you seem to have gotten it. We can give you a segue to some other banjo.
No, I like the segue. Like, just give me. Can I tune on the radio?
Yes, you may tune on the radio.
Do you get fines for tuning a banjo on the radio?
Because that way the audience knows we care, and it does matter. One hand on your radio, one hand on your heart. Excellent.
Okay. We'll see what we can do. I'm in open G or G tuning, and I'm going to play a Joe Thompson song, and it's going to be. Senegal, oh Senegal, oh Senegal, what did you say last night? Oh Senegal, oh Senegal, oh Senegal, crossed the river last night.
Now, one of the concerns in the radio audience is that you are not able to see all the smiling in the room as this music is being played. So you will need to be smiling yourself, and I hope you are as you're listening to the music. Hubby is playing an extraordinary energy into that banjo and smiling the whole time. The people listening in the room are smiling. Ben and Martin have been smiling because the music is such a joy in our lives. We've been coming consistently to a message that says music helps. And music helps, and people are just grinning right now. Will you tell us, please, about the banjo in addition? Just give us an idea of that instrument.
This banjo... her name was Ruth for a long time, but we were talking the other day, and she doesn't identify as Ruth. We're changing to Zippora, or Zip for short. And she was made, Zippora was like the wife of who in the Bible? Anyone read the Bible?
Not much.
Anyways, but this banjo was made by a guy named Greg Galbraith, who is somewhere in Virginia, and his company's called Buckeye Banjo. And it's just a beautiful... light, old-timey instrument. And it has a wooden tone ring, which I think is maybe maple. Does it sound like maple to you? I don't know. But it's very nice. My other banjo was a Deering banjo. My other touring banjo is a Deering banjo, which I love deeply, but it has like this metallic tone ring that is, A, very heavy. It's like 10 pounds or something like that. It's very bright. And I think that this banjo has a nice, warm sound, funky, and it's in between what would be a minstrel banjo and kind of, you know, quote, modern banjo. But yeah, we're also very much in love with each other. And yeah.
Instruments do name themselves. I play harp and teach harp often and have sometimes taught children. And I remember one little girl who kept coming in and being very sad because her harp didn't have a name and she didn't know her harp's name. And then one day this child just came bouncing in the door, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Her harp's name was Charlotte, and
where
she needed to just understand until, you know, when she suddenly knew, she knew. So,
but I also know some musicians who don't have that thing. They're like, you know, an instrument is a tool. You know, you'd like to, they're like, I don't name my hammer. I don't name a, whatever, a saw. I'm not a very handy person. Other tool.
All those things.
Screwdriver's holes.
That's a good tool, yeah. But, you know, I don't subscribe to that. I think it's very important to have a nice spiritual connection to it, especially if it's wood. Like, you work with wood. There's something about it's almost breathing. It can't get wet. It can't deal with air in the same way. You know, it's like a, it's a living thing in some ways.
Yes, yes. And it's a pleasure to have the three of you here and pulling so much music forward for us. Summer Acoustic Music Week has classes that let people listening to WUMB learn hands-on how to create some of that music that they're hearing. And we run quite a range of styles. Everyone in this room will know that already. And the drawing from one style to the next and understanding how one is kind of borrowed from and moved is a critical part of the music making here at Summer Acoustic Music Week. And we're about to wrap this program up. But first, I want to be sure to thank John Dorshak, who is here as our engineer on site, and Rob Landry, who is our engineer back at the station, and Patty Domeniconi, who is general manager of WUMB Radio, and also wears the hat of being camp director during these Summer Acoustic Music Weeks. She is a strong woman. And we are going to go out with another tune, yeah? And or whatever you would choose, but it's about time to have something that that the three of you would play together. And I'm going to ask, Hubby, will you tell us a little about what's in your hand now to be part of this trio?
Oh, yeah. So in my hands, I'm holding an instrument called the bones, rhythm bones, musical bones. They're the world's oldest instrument. They believe that cave people killed a dinosaur and ate it and then turned its ribs into bones. So if you can imagine two curved kind of rib bone type sticks in my hand, that's what is making this sound. Which I hope is not too loud for...